All right, let's dive in. Today, we're going deep into the Persian Empire.
Oh, a fascinating choice.
Specifically, their epic clash with the
A
Greeks.
real clash of
You know,
civilizations.
you sent over some incredible notes in this lecture transcript.
Yeah, I hope they're helpful.
Super helpful. Really paints a vivid picture. Okay, so we're going way beyond just names and dates here. We're talking massive cultural shifts, military
Sort of
innovations.
truly mind-blowing
And
strategies.
honestly, the ripple effects of that rivalry, we can still see them today.
Or absolutely, the echoes are everywhere.
Now, before we really get into it, something that blew my mind in the research, did you know that the Persian Empire, they gave us coinage, like actual coins?
Huh. Yeah, not the image we usually get, right?
Definitely not what Hollywood's been telling us.
It's a common misconception to see
Yeah.
the Persians as just, the villains in the Greek hero story.
Right.
But when you dig deeper, you realize just how sophisticated and impactful Persian civilization really was.
Okay, I'm hooked already. Where do we even start with a civilization this
Well,
vast?
let's start with Darius the Great.
Darius the Great. Okay.
He often gets painted as this power-hungry villain,
Right, the stereotypical tyrant.
Exactly. But the truth is much more nuanced.
Okay.
This was a ruler with incredible organizational skills. Really left a lasting mark.
Darius the Great rings a bell, but remind me, what makes him so great?
Well, for one thing, he created this system called satrapies.
Satrapies.
Imagine trying to manage an empire that stretches from Egypt to India.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a lot of ground to cover.
Right, so Darius divided it all up into these provinces, each ruled by a governor called a satrap.
Okay, so like delegating, breaking it down.
Yeah, but here's the brilliant part. He built in all these checks and balances to keep any one satrap from getting too powerful.
Ah, so no one could challenge his rule.
Exactly. Smart, right?
So ancient bureaucracy, but with like extra security measures. Impressive. Anything else?
Oh, we're just getting started. Darius also commissioned the Royal Road.
The Royal Road.
This incredible feat of engineering. Basically, a paved highway.
Whoa, a highway back then.
Spanning over 1,600 miles. Connecting their heartland all the way to Anatolia. Imagine.
Okay, that's mind-blowing.
Right. If you were a merchant, a messenger, a soldier, this was your lifeline. It's like the ancient version of the interstate, but centuries before Rome.
Seriously, I'm picturing this ancient superhighway just bustling with travelers.
Totally. And traders, all kinds of people.
I bet that had a huge impact on like their economy and communication.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But perhaps even more significant, Darius introduced standardized coinage.
Ah, you mentioned that before, right?
Before him, it was all bartering and lumps of precious metal, really inefficient. So Darius creates the Daric, a gold coin, and the Siglos, silver, fixed weight, fixed purity, made trade way smoother.
Sounds like the foundation for, well, our entire economic system.
Pretty much.
Wait, siglos, that word's familiar.
You know where we get the word shekel from?
Oh, wow, really?
It's got roots in ancient Semitic languages. Shows you how far-reaching Darius's reforms were.
So that little jingle in our pockets is the legacy of the Persian Empire. That's wild. Makes you think, you know, history really is all connected.
Absolutely. And it totally flips the script on this idea of Persia as, just a tyrannical force.
Yeah.
Their contributions were vast, and we're still living with them today.
Okay, Darius is definitely climbing the ranks of my most interesting historical figures
He's
list.
definitely up there.
But when we think Persia and Greece, you know, it's hard not to picture epic battles.
Oh,
Those
yeah.
iconic images from 300.
Right,
Where
Rylan.
does all that fit in?
Well, those battles definitely happened.
Yeah.
But the story's far more complex than Hollywood lets on.
Right, of course.
It all starts with Xerxes, Darius's son.
Xerxes.
You might recognize him from the Bible, Book of Ezra.
The Persian king who went up against the Greeks. Those wars were always fascinating to me, but I get the feeling there's more to it than we usually hear.
For starters, these weren't clear-cut Persian victories.
Oh, so not the total domination we often imagine.
While Xerxes did have some initial success, it was far from a one-sided thing.
Okay, so paint me a picture of what these conflicts were really like.
Well, everyone knows the story of the 300 Spartans at Thermopylae, right?
Yeah.
Heroic last stand against impossible odds.
Yeah, classic underdog story.
Brave effort, for sure, but strategically, it was more of a delaying tactic.
Oh, I see.
So, if Thermopylae wasn't the decisive battle, what was?
Yeah, what was the turning point?
The Battle of Salamis. A naval engagement.
Salamis.
It often gets overshadowed by all the land battles, but it was arguably even more important.
Salamis. Vaguely rings a bell. Remind me why it was so significant.
Well, the Persians relied heavily on their navy, not just for combat, but logistics.
Oh, right. Keeping the troops supplied.
Exactly. Their army was massive, but needed a constant stream of supply.
To function, yeah.
And at Salamis, the Athenian navy, with their superior strategy and knowledge of the waters, they just decimated the Persian fleet.
Whoa, so they crippled their supply lines. Brilliant.
It was a crippling blow to their invasion force. Xerxes had to retreat. The whole war effort was hampered.
Wow, so the battle everyone forgets is actually the one that shifted the balance of power. Man, that really challenges the traditional narrative.
It's a perfect example of how history is often told from, you know, a single perspective.
Right, right.
The Greek victory at Salamis was a turning point, but it didn't mean the Persian Empire was finished. They still held a lot of power and influence.
So what happened after Salamis? Did the Persians just lick their wounds and call it a day?
Not quite. There was a period of relative peace, formalized by the Peace of Callias. But here's the interesting thing. The terms were surprisingly favorable to the Greeks.
Huh. Almost like the Persians were admitting they were in a weaker position.
Even if they weren't ready to give up completely.
Okay, so what was going on behind the scenes?
Well, it becomes a story of what some historians call Persian gold against Greek disunity.
Persian gold.
Okay. The Persians may have been militarily weakened, but they were still incredibly wealthy.
Right. Makes sense.
And they started using that wealth to their advantage, playing the Greek city-states against each other.
Oh, clap.
Bribing one to attack another, funding wars, exploiting rivalries. It was a way to maintain influence and prevent a united Greek front.
That's fascinating. It's like super advanced political maneuvering, kind of like playing countries against each other on a global chessboard.
You got it.
Which, come to think of it, still happens today.
Oh, absolutely. The Persians were masters of realpolitik.
And they managed to hold on for quite a while using these tactics.
Yeah, but you can't hold back the tide forever.
Yeah.
And that brings us to the rise of a new power player, Alexander the Great.
Okay, now we're talking. Alexander is legendary. Everyone knows he conquered the Persian Empire.
He did.
But I'm guessing there's more to it than just brute force and ambition.
You're right. Before we get to Alexander, we have to talk about his father, Philip II of Macedon.
Philip II. Oh.
He really set the stage for this final showdown with Persia. He had this vision of a holy war against them, saw them as decadent, ripe for the taking.
So Philip was basically saying, time to finish what the Greeks started.
Pretty much.
Huh?
And his son, Alexander, inherited that mission with gusto.
All right, bring on the legendary conqueror. I'm ready for epic battles and world domination.
Well, Alexander's conquests were swift, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't as effortless as some stories make them seem.
Right, right.
The Persian Empire might have been weakened, but they were still a formidable force.
I bet.
Alexander had to fight hard for every victory.
So no magical instant win button for Alexander then. Mm. What was his secret weapon? Besides, you know, being ridiculously ambitious.
One thing that set him apart was his logistical genius. He understood that winning battles wasn't just about brute force. It was about having the right resources in the right place at the right time.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Give me an example of that.
Take his campaign in Egypt, for instance. He kept his army supplied using his navy, sailing along the coast, providing provisions.
Ah, smart.
And get this, when he moved into Mesopotamia, he took some of his ships, put them on rollers, and literally rolled them across land to use on the rivers.
Hold on, rolling ships across land? That's insane. I mean, how did he even...
Right.
And did his enemies ever try to copy those tactics? And how did all this logistical mastery contribute to his success?
They were definitely caught off guard, and it played a huge role in his victories. Alexander was constantly adapting, innovating.
Always one step ahead.
Which gave him a huge edge.
Wow.
He wasn't just a brilliant military strategist. He was a master of logistics, thinking centuries ahead of his time.
That's mind-blowing. He was like a logistical ninja, outsmarting his opponents at every turn.
So he conquers the Persian Empire. What's next? Is that the end of Persia?
Not quite. What Alexander does next is perhaps even more fascinating than his conquests.
He had this grand vision of spreading Hellenistic culture, a fusion of Greek and Eastern elements throughout his vast empire. Mm-hmm. He wasn't content with just conquering land. He wanted to transform the world.
Wow. So he wasn't just about destruction. He was trying to build something new. That's a pretty ambitious goal, even for someone like Alexander.
It was. And his efforts had a profound and lasting impact. But that's a story for part two of our deep dive.
Okay, you've really got me on the edge of my seat here. Alexander has conquered Persia, but then what? You mentioned spreading Hellenistic culture.
Exactly. See, Alexander wasn't just about brute conquest. He had this vision, you know, a more unified world, a cosmopolitan world where Greek culture blended with the East. That's what we call Hellenism.
So instead of just imposing his rule, he wanted to create a whole new cultural landscape.
Yeah, and he did it very deliberately. He founded cities all across his empire, many of them named Alexandria, like the famous one in Egypt.
Oh, right.
These cities became centers of learning, commerce, real cultural hubs.
I can almost picture them, these ancient cities, just bustling with new ideas.
Right. A real melting pot.
So Alexander encouraged, like, the Greek language, philosophy, art.
Even their system of government.
Wow, trying to create a common cultural thread across this massive territory.
It was a bold move. But did it work? Did the Persians, all those conquered peoples, just embrace this new culture?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
It's not that simple. Imagine you're, you know, living in Persia. Centuries of tradition, your own unique way of life.
Right.
This young king shows up and says, hey, adopt all this new stuff.
Yeah, I could see some pushback there.
There was definitely resistance.
Yeah.
But also adaptation.
So a mixed bag sounds like a really complicated cultural exchange.
Very complex. Think of it like this. These Hellenistic cities became like islands of Greek culture.
Okay.
In a sea of Eastern traditions.
Okay, I like that. A good analogy.
So you've got this blending, some clashing, and ultimately an evolution.
Not a total takeover, but it definitely left its mark.
Exactly. So how do you think this Hellenistic influence played out in the long run?
That's a good question.
Well, for one thing, it paved the way for the Roman world, which inherited a lot of Hellenistic culture and spread it even further.
Ah, okay.
It also laid the groundwork for centuries of interaction and exchange, sometimes peaceful, sometimes not, between East and West.
Wait, so you're saying that this ancient cultural fusion is still relevant to us today?
Absolutely. Think about those tensions we still see, you know, East versus West.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
In modern geopolitics.
Yeah.
It goes back thousands of years to this very encounter.
That's incredible. So this isn't just ancient history. It's a story that's still being written.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it shows just how important it is to understand the complexities of the past. The Persian Empire wasn't just a stepping stone for the Greeks. It was this vibrant civilization with its own rich culture, its own contributions.
Which we often forget.
And the clash between these two civilizations.
Right.
It wasn't just about conquest.
Right.
It was a meeting of cultures, ideas, a whole legacy that continues to shape us.
So what became of Alexander's vision? Did he live long enough to see it through?
Sadly, no. Alexander died quite young, only 32.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize he was that young.
Historians still debate the cause. You know, malaria, poisoning, who knows?
Yeah.
But his death had a huge impact. I mean, his empire was vast. From Greece to India.
Really hard to hold together.
Too much for any one person, really. Without Alexander, his generals started fighting amongst themselves.
Oh no, classic power struggle.
Each one vying for control. So the empire fractured, and Alexander's dream of this unified Hellenistic world, well, it crumbled.
A classic case of you can conquer the world, but you can't conquer death.
It really is.
Yeah.
His empire was divided up into successor states, each ruled by one of his generals.
Okay.
They continued to spread Hellenistic culture, but the unity Alexander envisioned was lost.
It's tragic, in a way.
But it's a good reminder, you know, even the greatest empires are fleeting.
Yeah, for sure.
But his impact was undeniable.
Absolutely. His conquests, his vision.
All of it left a mark. That fusion of Greek and Eastern cultures, the spread of knowledge, the amazing architecture, the advancements in philosophy, it all contributed to such a vibrant era.
I'm starting to see that the story of Persia and Greece, it's about so much more than just battles and conquests.
It's about the exchange of ideas, that clash and fusion of cultures.
And the enduring legacy of this pivotal period in history.
You got it. It's a reminder that history is never simple. There are multiple perspectives, layers of complexity, unintended consequences.
And the more we understand the past,
the better equipped we are to navigate our own world.
So we've covered a lot of ground here. The rise of the Persian Empire, their clashes with the Greeks, the legacy of Alexander the Great. What are the big takeaways here? Why should this ancient history matter to someone listening today?
One of the most important lessons is that history is never truly over.
Mm-hmm.
It shapes who we are and the world we live in, whether we realize it or not. The echoes of those ancient conflicts, the cultural exchanges, those innovations, they're still resonating today.
It's amazing to think about, right? Like how a Persian king's decision to introduce coinage is still felt in our wallets today. And the way we even talk about East versus West, those divisions, they're rooted in these ancient encounters.
Exactly. Understanding the past gives us a deeper perspective on the present, and maybe even lets us glimpse into the future.
So as you reflect on everything we've discussed, what stands out to you the most? I think for me, it's how much we simplify things. We hear Persian Empire and think, oh, the Greeks' enemy. But their achievements, like Darius with the coinage, the royal road, that's huge.
It is easy to, you know, just see things as black and white, good versus evil.
Yeah.
But the Persians, sophisticated. They made lasting contributions. We wouldn't have money as we know it without them.
Seriously. And Alexander, always the conquering hero.
Right.
But he wasn't just conquering. He wanted to build a new kind of world, this East-West fusion. Fascinating, but kind of sad how it fell apart.
It makes you think, doesn't it? The power of individuals to shape history, but also how they're limited by their time.
Right.
Alexander's vision, it was ahead of its time, maybe doomed to fail them. But his impact, undeniable.
It really makes you wonder, what if he had lived longer? Could he have actually bridged that East-West divide? Or was that clash just inevitable?
One of history's big what-ifs.
Ah.
Impossible to know for sure. But when you look at the context, the ambitions, the motivations, it gives us a new perspective, not just on the past, but on the present, too.
It's like those ancient tensions are still playing out, just on a different stage, different player.
Exactly. That's why history matters. It's not just dates and names. It's about understanding the forces that shaped our world, the legacies that live on, and how they still affect us.
I think we've given our listener plenty to think about. Started with a Persian king who changed trade forever, then the truth about a battle that changed everything, and ended up exploring the roots of conflict that's still going on.
Not bad for one deep dive.
Not bad at all. And remember, this is just one story in history. There are so many more to explore, each one with its own insights.
Keep questioning. Keep exploring.
Keep connecting those dots between then and now. Who knows what you'll discover